Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
When we come into union with Christ, what happens to Christ is credited to have happened to us. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also were raised into a newness of life. So he says, now we should walk in the newness of life.
I will no longer die to what he died to. Because he died, I'm no longer in my sins. Because he died, I can never be sick. Because he died, I can never be poor. Because he died, I can never be under a curse. Because he died, I can never be a prey to the fowler. My soul has escaped through his blood.
Step into the world of infinite possibilities as you listen to Pastor David Ibichiku today.
Our eyes are fixed on you. Our praise is unto you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you tonight. We bless your holy name tonight. Le barine kose in dalade suprade kayalare suprainga. La yele dos in the linda kate suprade lega lengara brade subradeka. We bless you, Father. Just wave those hands unto the Lord. We worship you. We worship you, King of Glory. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we worship. Father, we bless your holy name today. And our hearts are open before your presence. We stand with all boldness of righteousness, knowing that we are accepted in the beloved. And through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, we are made worthy, and by the Spirit of adoption, we can boldly call you Father. And therefore, today we receive of your mercies and of your grace. We believe that every need that walked in here will be met here today. It might be impossible with men, but nothing is impossible with you. So today, Father, we bless you because this gathering has become a mountain of possibilities. All things are possible tonight to him that believes. We give you praise. Do your pleasure. Move in this place in a special way. Touch every life. Lord, let no one be spared. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your grace and your favors. Thank you for your mercies towards us. Thank you for your faithfulness. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' precious and mighty name we have prayed. Let the people of God shout a very big amen. Amen. Give the Lord Jesus Christ a very, very, very big clap offering of praise. Bless his name this evening. bless his name this evening. Hallelujah. Welcome everyone by your side to church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Tonight is a night of victories. If tonight you're forcing your victory, shout your loudest hallelujah. Tonight is a night of miracles. If tonight your miracles, you're seeing them manifest in your life, shout your loudest hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn your Bibles to 3 John. Turn your Bibles to 1 John. Okay, not 1 John. Let's go to 3 John verse 2. It has only one chapter. 3 John verse 2. It has only one chapter. I want you to get to know the names of the person sitting to your left and to your right. Make sure you know who they are. And let them know you. Introduce yourselves. Call them by their name. Say, Mr. David. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Read to that neighbor, 1, 2, go. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. One more time, read it again. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. So, the elder, Apostle John, begins to show us the mind of the Spirit. What the will of God is for us. So he says, I pray that you may. Somebody say, may. Now, you decide to take what belongs to you, or you decide to treat it lightly and neglect it. I pray that you may. That means this is, whenever you hear the word may, it is conditional. And the condition is dependent on your choices. What do you want in life? What kind of life do you want to live? What do you want to see in your life? Make a choice. You may prosper in all things, or you may not. It's your choice. And somebody can believe that nobody's got it all. You can prosper in some things, but not in all things. And that's your faith. And it will be done to you according to what? Your faith. Another person says, no. I'm going to prosper in all things. In Genesis chapter 39, the Bible talks about Joseph. While he was in Potiphar's house. How the Lord made him successful and made him prosper in all things that he did. In all things. And that was a slave boy. A slave boy. Sold as a slave. So when you look at that, can a slave on one hand, being a slave, be successful. Meaning that the blessing of the Lord does not respect the state of a man. Doesn't respect the location of the man. Doesn't respect the background of the man. Doesn't respect where you're coming from. When it comes to the blessing of the Lord, the Bible says he was a successful man. And all he did prospered because the Lord blessed him. So the question is, can a man prosper in all things? Yes. When the Lord blesses him. The natural man cannot prosper in all things. With men, it is impossible to prosper in all things. But with God, that whatever a man does, he prospers. Whatever he does. He moved to the prison. I would like you to get down to some of those verses and find me. When he got to the prison, the Bible says that the warden handed over every affair of the prison to him. Every affair. And what was happening in the prison, the warden didn't know. Why? Because this man was so blessed that the Lord made him prosper in whatever he did. So look at verse 22, if we can get there. He said, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hands all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. Verse 23, keep going. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. Everybody read the next thing and read it loud. Again. Believers, I'm going to be asking you a question. I'm going to be asking you, and I want you to hear me and hear me well. Can a man prosper in whatever he does? Do you believe that? Is it possible to the natural man to prosper in all things? With men, it is impossible. But you've got to understand the God factor and the grace factor. You have to understand the God factor and the grace factor. And whatever he did, the Lord himself made it prosper because the Lord was with him. With God, that is possible. Somebody will be living here with a fresh endowment and empowerment of the blessing that will cause you to prosper in whatever you do. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So the world has its own philosophy and ideology. The world has its own opinion. There is what the scripture calls human wisdom. The wisdom of this age. The wisdom of the principalities of this age. The professionals and the authorities of this age. The experts have their own wisdom. It's based on logic. It's based on intellectualism. And many times, they give us certain advice and they give us certain lessons that is based on this wisdom. So, the scripture calls it the counsel of the ungodly. A man who tells you practically, oh, this is how it is. The counsel of the ungodly. And most of the ungodly, you have to understand, will always scorn the ways of God. They mock the ways of God. That's why some of us who practice the terms of the covenant, that we are relating with God on the basis of love and on the basis of the covenant, and we practice our lives, we live our lives on those terms, many people mock us. They feel like we are foolish. They feel like you're foolish. If you go outside now and tell your friends you're a tither, what are we going to say? They mock you. They will scorn you. They wash your head. And they will give you 31 reasons why you're making the worst mistake, while you're enriching a pastor and his family, why your life is going down because of it. In fact, they will tell you that's what's wrong with the country. Your tithe is the reason Nigeria is the way it is. And they'll convince you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel. So when you go and see people who are taking their convictions, their belief systems from what is being said out there in the media space, popular opinion trends does not equal to truth. What did I say? That everybody is saying it and everybody believes it. Actually, Jesus said, narrow is the way and is least traveled. The way, when you see where the masses are going, God is not there. The voice of the masses is not the voice of God. Narrow is the way. And very few travel on that way. So blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seats of the scornful. Those who mock the spiritual, those who mock the power of God, those who mock the things of the spirit. He said, blessed is such a man. If you're that kind of man, you're that kind of woman, lift your hands and boldly declare, I am blessed. Shout it loud as you can. Say, I am blessed. Look at verse 2. Continue reading. For this man, where does he get his convictions? He believes from. Where does he get it? Want to go? And in his law, he meditates. And in his law, he meditates what? And in his law, he meditates what? He stays in that word. Not periodically, not once a week when he comes to church. No, daily and at least day and night. He can do much more. But by structure, you know, this person meditates on God's word day and night. On his law, he meditates day and night. Now look at the life of this person. I want you to get this. This is very key. Hold that neighbor by your side. Say, hear the description of my life. And I hope should be of your life. Say, because I'm a man blessed of the Lord. Say, I'm blessed with all spiritual blessing in a heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Say, I know I am blessed of God. Say, the Lord is with me. And he dwells in me by his spirit. Say, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Say, the spirit of the Lord, that very glory of God, tabernacles in me. Say, the greater one dwells in me. Say, so I know I'm blessed. Now read that scripture to your neighbor. One to go. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his what season? Whose leaves also shall not what? And how many things he does? 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 And whatever he does shall what? That means a man can prosper in all things that he does. Where he's not prospering is where he's not called to, and he's not doing anything about it. He's not his calling, he's not his purpose, it's not his assignment. I wasn't called to politics, so I don't have to prosper in politics. Amen. And if the Lord anoints me as a priest that will speak to kings, and when that time comes and he opens that door, I will pass properly in that area. I mind my business and focus on what the Lord has given to me to do. Somebody say, I hear. Somebody say, I hear. Come on, shout, I hear. Tonight, the great blessing of the Lord for us is the emboldenment of our heart to choose to prosper in all things. He said that you may, is a prayer that you may. So it's now time for you to make up your choice. May or may not, will you prosper in all things? Will you begin to relate with God and to God and have your expectation firm on with settled confidence, absolute confidence, that you expect the grace of God and the hand of God and the blessing of the Lord to prosper you in all things? I expect to prosper in all things that I do. There is no area of my life that will be a weak point. There is no area of my life that will be a minus. There is no area of my life that will be a point of pity. There is no area of my life that will be a reference of shame. No area of my life. I prosper in all things. Oh, you learned it, right? I prosper in all things. Hallelujah. So, somebody came to me one day and said, ah, big man, big trouble. I said, that's a lie. That's a lie. I said, from where? I said, there is a concept in the scripture called peace and prosperity. Big man, big peace. Shalom, shalom. I don't know about you, but I know about myself. You see, that's the wisdom of the world. You decide to take counsel from the ungodly. People who don't know God, it sounds logical. It sounds intelligent. It sounds reasonable. It actually sounds wise. The sage of our time with great lifting comes great trouble. And I say, no, 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 no. I'm a man that meditates on the word of God day and night. No, no, I'm not part of those that perish because they lack knowledge. I'm filled with the knowledge of God's will. I know my God. I know what God has provided for me in Christ Jesus. I know my inheritance in Christ. I know the blessing of the Lord. I know Isaiah 26:3. Put it on the screen for me. Everybody, read and read out very loud. One, two, go. One more time. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That word perfect peace there is shalom what? Shalom. It means what? Peace and prosperity. Give me other translations of it. You will guide him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, Who's mine? Find me another translation. So let's move on from there. I'm not looking for what I'm seeing. Yes. Somebody say perfect peace. Shout it louder. Say perfect peace. Come on, shout it louder. Say constant peace. Say steadfast peace. Say nothing broken. Nothing missing. Say when my mind is steadfast on the Lord. And my trust is in the Lord. I enjoy prosperity and I enjoy peace. Say so when it comes to my life. Is big prosperity, great peace. I'm enjoying my life. You know, today we celebrate the perfect sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason we are here, the reason we are called the sons of God is because He redeemed us to God. And He paid the price. Can we just stop for a minute? Just stand on our feet and lift our hands and magnify the Lamb of God. Chandeliru Chandalayaka. We praise you, Lord. We honor you, Jesus Christ. We thank you for your sacrifice for us. We thank you for your sacrifice for us. We bless your name. Thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you. He says, my peace I give to you. Sit down. He said the world cannot give it and the world cannot what? Take it away. And even if you find yourself in the midst of troubles, he said, cheer up. I have overcome. Cheer up. I have what?
Overcome.
Cheer up. I have overcome for you. Cheer up. Stay in peace. Now, when we get back, you know, to 3 John, which is more of my focus tonight, 3 John verse 2, it said that you prosper in all things and be in health, not be healed. We've talked so much about healings. It's time to start talking about health. I want to start hearing testimonies of 60 years without headache. I'm celebrating this year 25 years without any incidents. The enemy tried to, but couldn't. No symptom could stay on my body. We've got to graduate. I want to start hearing that. I'm celebrating 55 years of steadfast, constant, continuous health without a break. Enjoying divine health. How many of you that you may, how many of you will choose that? If you want to be getting sick and then we come, we pray for you, you get healed, that's okay. It's part one. It's like you're in nursery school. That's not all there is in Christ. That's not all there is in the provisions of grace. If that's what you want and that's what, that's okay. But the elder was praying and he said, I pray that you may be in health. Somebody say, be in health. Never living there, abiding in health, staying in health, continuing in health. Even as your soul prospers. And the Lord began to talk to me and said, son, I want you to go and give them two major weapons of being in health. Two major secrets of divine health. How many of you want to know that? You live uninterrupted. I know the way they say uninterrupted power supply is uninterrupted health supply. Constantly. Constantly. And when I'm talking about health, I'm talking about health. If you don't like eczema on your skin, it goes. Anything that represents grief, sorrow, pain, any form of affliction, whether mental, any kind of malady, whether mental or whether physical, cannot stay in you. Not on your body. Not in your house. He even said it in his word. He said, I will take sickness away from your midst. I will take sickness away from your midst. You will finally close that pharmacy in your dining room. You will close that pharmacy. That bucket, you have different kinds of drugs. It will end. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And let's go straight to it, because I want it to be very simple tonight. I want it to be very simple by the Spirit of the Lord. First is Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. You want to live in divine health. Be in health. So you're here, and what is important to you is not just that you get healed tonight, you're going to get healed tonight. Not just that you come into the restoration of your strength tonight, your health and your strength will be perfectly restored tonight. But that you continue and abide in health. Because so many people get healed and lose their miracles after a while. Many people get healed, and after some days, after some weeks, after some months, a worse sickness than that comes upon them. And their cases become worse than before they were healed. But that will never be your portion in Jesus' name. If you're here, say, I'm here. Now hold that neighbor and read that scripture to him or her. We're going to read from verse 20 to verse 22. Pay attention. Please pay attention. There is an unveiling. The Lord Jesus is manifesting himself through his word today. Read. One to go. My son, give attention to my words. Again. That's a secret. The quality of attention you give to God's word will determine the quality of health you enjoy. That's the secret. And when I talk to young people, I always tell them, I say, calm down. Many of us, by the blessing of the Lord, by the mercy of the Lord, enjoy the strength and the energy of youth. But let me tell you, you're going to be 50 one day. You're going to be 60 one day. And that's what we're praying. You're going to be 70 one day. And if you only think of your health in terms of the natural, and because you're in your young age, you're still very full of life and energy, when you start aging, you're going to be dabbling with serious issues. That's why you hear the world talk about the sickness of old age. Old age is what humbles every natural man, no matter who you are. It humbles every natural man. You hear the people that say, the pains they go through, the deeds they go through. And so you have whole industries that are carved out to exploit and make money of people who are trying to treat themselves or trying to work against aging, and yet they still age. Some even take Botox. And after, they have to keep taking it. And then once they stop, It's as if there is a restoration of lost years. Everything you've lost. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The thing comes back. Some try to use different things. There are now companies that are manufacturing different things. Some will tell you these are natural supplements. These are natural this. These are natural that. Man has been trying everything. Trying everything. But they cannot. Because they've not gotten to the root of sickness. Until you get to the root of sickness, you can't get to the root of health. And let me say this, please. Try as much as possible to eat better, especially as you continue to increase in age. Exercise. Do what you have to do. Because there are natural responsibilities that God has given to us. But you must understand what I'm about to tell you. Physical fitness and health are not the same. The root of health does not come from food or exercise. It plays a role. Because even in the Word of God, we are not going to be irresponsible, careless. But the root of health has nothing to do with the natural. Because sickness was not created in the beginning by God. It came from a thing, sin. The root of sickness is spiritual and demonic. Every kind of sickness. There is no sickness that is ordinary. No kind. So far as is pain, sorrow, grief, any form of disease, any form, is the root of it is sin, is spiritual and is demonic. It is a product of the fall of man into sin. Is a product of the fall of man and the curse that came from it. One of the products of that transaction of disobedience and treason against God. One of the products of it was sickness. In fact, sickness is the vehicle through which the curse of death acts on the man's body. Sickness is simply death walking on the body of a man or on the mind of a man. That's simply what it is. So what man tries to do is to manage it. Manage it. Many of the medical procedures, which are very good, because without them, there will be nobody alive. In fact, before, even for us who are believers, before people's faith would have grown and they have come into revelations, they would have died. So why God is preparing the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth? For God, in his foreknowledge, Adam was going to do that. Why he is preparing that in the fullness of time, this world will become flesh. And then this Jesus Christ will go to the cross and become the atonement and the propitiation for our sins. And the diseases of man, the infirmities of man, the sickness of man, and every curse of man will be laid on him. Before that time, you understand that he slew an animal and covered them with the skin of an animal. So what God is doing today, and what you're seeing in medicine, I'm telling people, is a very simple thing. Medicine is, the good one is from God. God transmitting inventions that are natural into the hearts of men so they can help take care of man's health. Now you have the bad ones, the corrupted pharmaceuticals, the ones that are there to take advantage of people, not to cure. Are you understanding me? That one is man making fig leaves. Both of them are coverings, not the real deal. There is a real deal. Whether it's a good medicine or the bad medicine, both of them are just coverings. One is fig The other one is animal clothing. But there is a lamb. May the Lord grant you understanding tonight. Follow me. Follow me. Are you aware? Okay, I eat organic. And we try as much as possible to stay in that line. Here and now, I'm not under any law or something. And then we try to improve. We want to take only water. And we want to take only these after a while. And then the Lord told me, he said, even the water you take is cost. He said, the fruits and the vegetables you're taking, that carrot, the avocado that you like to take, the green, the smoothie, all of them, if they are planted on earth, the earth is cursed. He said, that's why I told you to sanctify whatever you take through the word and through prayers, through thanksgiving, to sanctify it. That's why you give thanks and you take it seriously. Say, I will bless your bread and your what? Your water. I will bless your food and your water. He said, and I will take sickness away from you. He said, if I don't put my blessing on that carrot will make you sick. So your trust is not in the carrot. He said, be responsible, but don't trust in the natural. Never. Never get to a place where you think that your health can come from anything you're doing naturally. That doesn't mean you should be irresponsible naturally. Because the wisdom of God teaches us to be responsible. Even when you look at the laws of God, and especially what he gave the Jews, you will find out that what he just gave them was a dietary plan. How to eat rightly. Gave them a dietary plan. How many of you want to enjoy divine health? Are you sure? Are you sure? All right. That Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20. Never listen. That is where the key is. My son, give attention. The quality of the attention you give to the world determines the quality of health you will enjoy. So continue reading to your neighbor that verse 20. Hold this for her hands. Don't get tired of the neighbor. Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David, hear the word of the Lord. Read to that neighbor, one to go. Incline your ears, what? Let your ear be positioned to hear my words. Verse 21. Continue reading. Verse 21 now. So how will you not let them depart from your eyes? By reading it. Day and keep them in the midst of your heart. Day and he meditates day and that's the secret. Read it and meditate on the word. Now look at the result. Look at the result. Everybody, verse 22. One, two, go. Wow. Wow. For they are life to those who find them. And Jesus told us that you seek and then you find. So everybody who seeks finds. So when you are giving attention, not because you're doing it religiously, not because you're in a place where they told you you must do morning devotion, not because somebody, no, it's not like it's a duty. No, it's beyond that. It's treasure of your heart. You treasure the word more than you treasure anything else. It's the delight. You delight yourself in God's word. It's your passion. You become passionate. And you're reading it with the intent to receive revelations. Spirit of the Lord, speak to me. Instruct me in righteousness. Furnish me with all grace for every good work. To do your will. Perfect me in every good work. To do your work. Work that which is well pleasing to you in my heart. By your word. And you're reading it that way. Reading it to yourself. Not to teach others. Not to preach to others. I'll give you an example. Everything I've meditated since April, God is my witness, so I can help you. Everything I've meditated from April to this moment, even to my coming from the car into the hall, every single thing I've been meditating on, praying in tongues, I've not used one of it yet. I've not even released one scripture of it. What you're hearing now is just coming as I hear, I speak. It's not for your consumption. It's for my consumption. I learned long ago never to prepare for programs. I learned to prepare myself and stay prepared in season and out of season. Studying to teach, studying to preach is what kills ministers. Did you get it? I've not used one of the scriptures. Per advent, I may still use one or two. But God is my witness. I'm here. And I can't lie to you because I really need God to move tonight. So I can't be lying. Not one of the scriptures I've meditated on have I used here tonight. Meaning that studying was for me. It's out of the overflow of my heart. God can minister to you. So people ask me, Pastor, are you preparing for a program? I said, I stay prepared all my life. And there is no program I prepare for. Why Good Friday miracle service is going on, I was working on how the young minister's boot camp will be in place. I wasn't thinking of this meeting. That one was settled in the spirit a long time ago. Now, I have to tell you that because this thing is revelations you gain for yourself. You've got to start studying God's word for yourself. Not to argue with people. Not to teach other ministers that are wrong how they are wrong. For yourself. It's from the overflow. The Bible says, let the words of Christ dwell in us. What? Richly. Rich deposits of the glory of his knowledge. For they are life, not to those who preach it, not to those who teach it, not to those who write it, but to those who find it. They are life. And what did I tell you sickness is? Death walking in the physical body and the mind of a man. When death starts walking, and then you get to take the word of God, you meditate, and you know, there are different levels of meditating. The first, it means to ponder. To ponder. Hagar. That word Hagar. It means to ponder. So you stay on it and you're pondering. And you're pondering. Why did the Lord say this? What does this mean? Spirit of the living God. You are my teacher. Jesus says you will guide me into all truth. Jesus says you will take what is and reveal them to me. Unveil. Teach me. I know your word is not letters. There is something beyond these letters I'm reading. Why did the scripture say this? I have some questions. And then after you finish reading and you come out, that thing is in your heart. You know, like a ruminant that chews cords, like cow, the goat. They finish eating and they get whatever grass or herb that they have eaten and put it somewhere. And then when they settle down, they now regurgitate it and start chewing the cord. Chew it well and then swallow it again. That's how it is in meditation. You start chewing. You start chewing. That thing is in your heart. You're doing this, you're doing it. After a while, you stop. You remember what you, and then you talk of it. And then you're praying in the Holy Ghost. From pondering, Hagar also means confession. You start confessing that word. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I have come. Jesus came that I may have life and have it more abundantly. More abundantly to this fullest. That I may have and enjoy this life. And you're confessing it. And maybe you've read it through different translations of the Bible. You keep confessing it under your breath. You confess it. That's why you can't meditate effectively until you first of all memorize. If I ask you to quote 3 scriptures and you can't, I know you have not been meditating on God's word. And the secret is this. Hear me. The wisdom of God is hidden. The Bible calls it the hidden wisdom ordained for our glory. Every wisdom of God is hidden. So a man who comes to know it is only a man is revealed to. And the only way you get the revelation of what God is saying is when you give attention. God speaks to the man who is paying attention. Our hearts have to prove. Our hearts have to prove that we treasure. You know, Job, the Bible says, Job was saying, he said, I treasure your word more than my necessary food. In many verses in Psalm 119, the psalmist talks about how he delights. How he delights in the word of God. I delight in your testimony. I delight in your law. So that's what is being proven. Are you a hit and run? Are you just wakapas at the come? Or is your heart invested? Do you really want to know? I remember many, many years ago when I was inquiring of the Lord. I've told you people that story many times. How I said, show me the secret of prosperity financially. I need to deal with it your own way. And I remember him asking me, do you really want to know? And I immediately gained understanding. What he's saying is, if I show you, will you believe and will you behave? Will you begin to act on it? Are you sure you want to know? And God searches our hearts. He knows the intent of our thoughts. Not just the thoughts, the intent of the thoughts. He knows the motive of our heart. God knows the heart of a man that treasures his word. If God can find passion that treasures and delights in his word in your heart, he will start unveiling the secrets of his word. Every wisdom of God ordained for a man's glory is hidden until it is revealed. It is your meditation that provokes the revelation. Stay on it. What are you saying concerning my health? What are you saying concerning my family? What are you saying concerning my increase? What are you saying concerning my honor? You didn't create me for shame. You didn't create me for dishonor. Even friends that I believe in are betraying me. Everybody is running from me. Those I have helped are turning their backs away from me. Father, will you not hold me up in honor? Did you not say that I have blessed you and I'll make you great and make your name great? To make my name great, is it not to make me honorable? Will I not be held in honor? Like Jabez prayed.
like Jabez pray, that I will not be a man that causes sorrow anymore. I'm inquiring of the Lord. This is your promise, and you're a promise keeper. You're a covenant keeper. This is your word. Why is it not manifesting in my life? And you're there. I want to know your will concerning this. Every pastor has prayed for you. They've laid hands on you. You have had oil blessed, water blessed, salt blessed, handkerchief blessed. You've used everything. You have done dry. You have done different things. At different times, you have consulted. Everybody now prophesies. You are now a prophecy study subject. Anybody that is learning to prophesy uses you to experiment prophecy. Everybody now has prophecy for you. You've done all those things and your case is still an AR case. People, the way they greet you is, don't worry, we are still praying for you. Every time they call you, you say, don't worry, our God will do it. Just hold on. Just hold on. Things will turn around. I came to give you your way out. I came. You've done 30 days fasting and shouting and crying, but you've not done 30 days feasting on the word, staying there. God, what is your will for this purpose? I want to know what your word says, and I want to meditate. I don't want to take it on face value, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Your word is spirit and not letters. What is behind this instruction? Why? I'm seeing some patterns as I begin to meditate. Is it a doctrine? Or is it a circumstantial manifestation of who you are? Should I follow after it, or is there something else? Is this your act, or is this your way? Which one? Show me your ways, oh God. How do I solve this? And your heart is there. You're meditating. You're memorizing scriptures. So somebody said to me, "Sir Pastor, I've been believing God for this." I said, "You've been believing God?" I said, "Yes." "For that?" I said, "Give me three scriptures you're standing on." And the person could not quote one. I said, "Sorry, my dear, you're not believing God." I said, "You're playing religion." I said, "Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what?" Faith cannot even start until the will of God is revealed. It's the will of God that is revealed to you that provokes faith in your heart. I said, so faith does not stand on nothing. Faith stands, you see, that an evidence of things not seen. That evidence is God said. So you can't quote three scriptures and you say you're believing God. You're not believing God. I say you stay like this till you're 70. Nothing will change. Except if there is an intercessor that God will bring by his mercy that will intercede and stand in the gap for you. You want to see God walk. You want to see God walk. So meditation starts from memorizing. What did I say? You ponder, you memorize, then you start confessing. Because that's the only way you can keep confessing it wherever you are. You're driving, you're confessing. Because you've memorized it. It has to be in your head before it gets to your heart. Be in your mouth. Your mouth has to start confessing it. And then you're praying with it. And then you are watching. You're praying. You watch, you pray. You watch, you pray. And after a while, it can happen instantaneously. It can happen within a period. What happens is that light breaks out in your heart.
And when it does, this is how you know. That's the last level of Hagar meditation. You start roaring. That same word meditate means to roar. Your asking, your inquiring turns to command. You're no longer asking God. That means your heart has been emboldened. It means faith has been imparted. Then faith comes with boldness and courage. You will stand up and start roaring, I can never be sick. I can never be broke one more day of my life. Never! That's one thing. Another thing I want to explain to you, when I've seen myself operate in faith, is that certain things the enemy had brought as a threat, even without commanding, I start laughing. The devil is boasting of great threat. I just be laughing. I've laughed my way to victory many times. What it means is, this one, you've entered another dimension. You don't have to say a word. You have already taken hold of it. You are so sure that you're sure that you're sure. The devil comes to you and tell you, you will die at 30. When you get to 30, he's going to kill you. And every time you say, in the name of Jesus, I shall not die. And you'll be doing that. That's okay. But it keeps coming. In the name of Jesus, I shall not die. I will live and declare the works of the Lord. With long life, God said, this woman says, satisfy me. But after a while, you just notice fear is still in your heart. Guy, go back. You're quoting the letters of scriptures. Go back and meditate. Declare a fast. I declare 2 weeks fast. When God was pouring out visions into this ministry, giving me visions, and I looked at our finances, there is no way it could execute that level of vision. Even the basics of it, I knew something had to change. I declared two weeks fasting. I told my wife, I was already married, I said, I'm going to a retreat place. I said, 2 weeks. I carried books, I carried Bible, focused on only one thing: growing the finances of the church. Only one thing. I wasn't praying for anything else. For 2 weeks, I came out there with a shout. In few weeks, our finances started tripling. From there, it just keeps moving like that. And we were able to match what visions God was giving to us. Without stress, without begging, without asking, without soliciting. I didn't have to come and tell people, if you come out and give 1 million, God will give you 10 million. Nothing. Sweatlessly. You know one thing about what is sourced from God? It's sweatless. Are you aware that this thing we are celebrating today, the death of Jesus, it's not just when he hung on the cross. It started from his agony. His agony in the garden. The fall of man started in a garden. The redemption of man started in a garden. It was in a garden. And one of the causes is that by the sweat of your face, that means life will be hard. It's metaphoric. Doesn't mean human beings won't sweat. It's healthy to sweat. It's metaphoric. It means that you will toil and toil. You will struggle before you have anything in life. He said, and even when it produces for you, it will come with thorns and what? Tests. When you study the passion of Jesus, the sufferings of Jesus, you go through it from the Psalms and the prophetic, and how it was prophesied through, and even through the law and the prophet. And you come back to study it practically as was recorded by the scriptures. Even go further into the revelation of the epistles. If you study it well, you will find out that Jesus started sweating blood because of agony of the heart. It's a medical condition. It's rare, but it's a medical condition. And they say his intense agony and stress can make the blood capillaries to burst. And blood will start coming out of the pores of a man like sweat. Why was Jesus sweating blood? Because he needed to pay for the cost that said we sweat. The blood was the atonement of that sweat. That also, there is nothing Jesus went through that didn't represent what aspect of our redemption. So when he says it will bring forth thorns and testers, that's why they didn't put nail on his head. They put thorns. They put nail on his hands. They put thorns on his head. And you know what head represents? Your glory. Head represents your glory. It also represents your center of work. That's where your brain and your mind represents. Your brain. The brain of a man, if you remove a man's brain, his hand is useless. So every intelligence that brings innovation, that brings creativity, that brings strategies for progress, for success, comes through your. And that's what the head represents. And Jesus had to have thorns driven into his head. They were nailing thorns into his head. Paid for every single thing. When you start meditating and meditating, you get to a place that your heart takes hold of life. Somebody shout life. Shout it louder, say life. Shout it louder, say life. Your heart takes hold of life. That the next time the devil comes, you've found it. My life is hid with Christ in God. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above. Shout it. And stretch it. Say, far above. Everywhere you are, shout it louder. Shout, far above. Your gallery overflow everywhere. Shout it, far above. Shout it louder. Shout, far above. You're going through that. You're going through that. And you have found that I'm far above principalities and powers. The next time the devil brings a threat, you're no longer in a battle. You start laughing. He that sits in the heavens. You will laugh the devil to derision. Scorn him. You just sit down and laugh. There is no longer agitating. You're not agitated. No anxiety. Quoting scriptures out of fear is a product of meditation. Somebody shout meditation. The quality of attention and meditation to God's word. Said they are life to those who find them. Now watch this. And health. The Hebrew word used there called health is mapei. It means medicine. That means what nevaquin, flagyl, tetracycline is medically. All those drugs they give. That's exactly what God is. There is wordosin. And if you understand how to take it morning, day and night, You won't be in a place where you need someone else who has been taking it. Someone else who is anointed to now come and pray for you to get healed. You just notice that when symptoms try to attack your body, the programming of your heart can't accept it. You're programmed that way. You don't get sick. No, not you get sick and you're looking for healing. You just don't get sick.
You just don't get sick. None in Zion shall say, I am sick. You get to that place where I dwell in health. It has become a reality of your heart. Somebody say, I hear. Come on, say, I hear. Lift your right hand and say, the word of God is medicine, is health to all my flesh. Say, every cell of my blood. Say, every bone of my structure. Say, every fiber of my being. Say, every faculty of my mind. From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet are conditioned, kept alive, kept in health by the word of God. Shout your loudest amen. I'm not hearing you. Shout your loudest amen. I'm still not hearing you. Shout your loudest amen. So the story of a man who's a medical doctor and a wife. They've trusted God for a child, not giving birth after many years of being married. And after that, they conceived. And then they'll go for their normal checkup because the doctor wasn't a gynecologist. So he had to take the wife. And even if he were to be a gynecologist, every doctor knows they don't treat their family. And then one of the times, as they went for their checkup, and the doctor came out, the woman said she noticed the doctor and the husband talking. And they just kept talking, and they just kept talking, and they just kept talking. And she knew when they saw the husband's face, something was wrong. And it happened, the husband had to tell her later. So the child had issues. Mama, you can remember that story. What was the issue the child had? You see? Brain. The brain was not there, not formed. The brain was not formed. And some other issues that the doctors, the gynecologist said, the only thing is to abort. The doctor said, if you give birth to this child, it's wickedness. He said, why? This child will be in a state of a vegetable state, and will live for just a few weeks or months, and will finally die. So why bring a life into the world and torment that life like that? Abort. And the man went to tell the wife, and the wife smiled and said, we are not going to abort this child. He said, we'll go to work. The wife, a believer. The husband, a believer. That's why those of you who went to school of marriage, you get why. All of you that went to school of marriage, you get why. Two of them came into agreement straight away. The man, obviously they are comfortable, had to resign from his job. The woman resigned so that they would give full time to this. They had some savings that could take them for a while. Just that little month before the child will be born. They got an abacus. And they started, and they got every promise of God they could find from the scriptures. Every promise of God they could find that promises them that child will live. And promises them that that child will be born. They were on God's word. How many times a day? Because they were counting it with the abacus. I think 600. And the woman, 8,400. Every day, they were confessing the word. 8,000. They were with abacus. One. Have you seen dedication before? Listen. When you are ready, you may or you may not. It's your choice. You may be in health or you may not. Another person is watching premiership.
You have a disease that is about to kill you, and you're there shouting, "Is a go with him." Don't you know there is time for everything? Go and get back your health, and then you can watch the premiership. Longer as you live. They stayed on it 1,400 times. And when you confess something that much every day, after a while, said, "Let it, this book of the law shall not be found lacking." They saturated. The husband will lay hands. They gave birth to that child. Perfect. Brain was formed. Everything. By the time they were writing the testimony, the child was about 9 years, if I can remember. Playing, having a normal life. The Bible says women who through faith brought the dead back to life. I don't know what it is that has been dying in your body or in your life. I don't know what it is that death has been working on. The scripture says the body may be dead because of sin, but the spirit gives it life because of righteousness. And if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that same spirit will give life, quicken, energize, strengthen, revitalize your physical body in the name of Jesus. Wherever death was walking, I speak life. You hear me? Life swallows up death in victory. I say life swallows up death in victory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Place your hands there and command life. What are you waiting for? Command life. Command life. Command life. Don't wait for me to pray. Command life. Speak life to your lungs. Speak life. Speak life. Speak life to your kidneys. Speak life. Command that tumor to go in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Sit down. I have to give you the second one first. But what I'm going to tell you about those of you who find the word. Let me give you a secret. The power of the word of God is only released when the word is spoken. Only. On the creative ability of the word. Is only released. The Holy Spirit can be moving, but nothing will happen until God says. So until you say, nothing happens. You get the word of God you've believed, you put it in your tongue, and you start roaring it. Stop allowing the devil have the final say in your life. That's how to stay in health. So once you notice that symptom, you just notice it. Sometimes you discern it from afar. It has not fully metamorphosed into a full-blown fever. But you just notice something is changing. Straight away, interrupt it. Stop it. on his truck. Devil, that far, no further, not my life. Not my house. You just look into your eye, the eyes of your child. Don't laugh about it. Touch the body. I say, it's okay. No, you are a spiritual man. The reason the Spirit of the Lord led you to touch the body is to start dealing with that thing from there. Don't wait till the child now breaks down. That's when you start praying. Learn the mystery of health. To stay, to be, to continue in health. This cycle of sickness, getting healed. Today you're sick, you're getting healed. Tomorrow you're sick, you're getting healed. It's over in your life from today. How many of you know what to do? You know what to do, right? Now, the second key. I want to sit down to say this. Get me a seat. Or leave it. Leave it. Let me. Why I wanted to sit down is that I don't want us to shout about this. I want us to be sober about this. I need you to get it. Now listen carefully. The fall of man started in the garden. But remember that sickness is a product of the fall into sin. That means sickness started from what man ate in the garden. It started from eating. The fall of man started from eating. Eating. What did I say? What did I say? What did I say? Give me Genesis chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Please pay attention. If you're here and you're paying attention, wave your hands. A miracle is about to happen in your life that will blow your mind. And it may not be physical sickness. Maybe your finances is sick. Maybe your family is sick. Whatever it is, the same principle applies. Just watch. Verse 7. Everybody read and read out loud. One to go. Their eyes were opened. But open to another dimension. They were in a supernatural dimension. And now it was open to the natural. And they saw their nakedness. Whenever your eyes is open to the natural, you will see your weakness. You will see your inadequacy. You will see your incompleteness. You will see your shame. You will see your inconsistencies. You will see your nakedness. Everything flesh has no glory. No flesh glories in God's presence. So a man who boasts of his intelligence in the natural is a fool whose folly has been amplified to a point he no longer hides it. The boasting of a fool is an empty noise. Their eyes were open and they saw their inadequacy. And that's why some people can't understand. I read a book and I saw a man give a testimony of how 60 years after he was cured of and healed of an incurable heart disease, Kenneth Hagin, he had not had a headache. 60 years of walking in divine health. And everything in me, every fiber of me says God is not partial. I want to know what that man knows. The same Father, the same blood, the same name of Jesus, the same access, the same glorious inheritance. God can't be partial. What does he know that I don't know? I want to know. I want this to be my testimony. It will be your testimony from today. This rising and falling, the Lord said I should tell you, it ends tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So when God wants to restore health, he starts with eating. Sickness started with eating. Health starts with eating. The fall of man into sin and into sickness came from what they ate. The perfection of the restoration of health comes from what we eat. Psalm 103 verse 5. Hold that neighbor by your side. Call him by his or her name. Say, Mr. David. Say, hear the word of the Lord. Read to your neighbor, one to go. One more time. So when your youth is renewed, it means your health is always renewed. The more you increase in age, the more you're renewed in strength. So for the world, there is sickness of old age. For us, even in old age, like a palm tree, we shall be fresh and flourish. Psalm 91, is that right? We have a promise that my back will not be bent, my eyes won't grow dim. In old age, at 80, I will still be taking territories. I'll be still be taking territories at 80 by the grace of God. So your mentality is different because your youth can be renewed. Your strength can be renewed. Your health can be renewed. But it starts with what God satisfied, mouth. Now, there are two things we eat. One is the word of God. So God fills your, you fill your heart out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. Once the word of God is always on your mouth, you will live in health. Your strength will always be renewed, always. That's the key. That's the key. The second is what we call the Holy Communion. A miraculous meal. A miraculous meal. A miraculous meal. Kai. Kai. Matthew chapter 26. Get me that seat. I need to sit down. Will you allow me to sit down? Okay. I'd like you to get me the mic. You always be ready for me. No matter what. Get it for me here. Yes. Read Matthew chapter 26 verse 28. Everybody put it on the screen there. Matthew 26 verse 28.
For this is my blood of the new covenant.
Okay. Go up. Go up. Let me... Yes, start from 26, verse 26. Thank you.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup.
Wait, everybody go back there. What did Jesus take? Talk to me, church. I need to listen in the next 10 minutes. Is very vital. Very vital. What did Jesus take? What did he bless? What did he break? What did he give to them? When they put that in their mouth, what taste would they taste? But what did he say the bread was? Did he say, "Take, this represents my body"? What did he say? Is there a difference between, "This is a symbol of my body, this represents my body, and this is my body"? Is there a difference? Is there a difference? I've heard ministers say that the Holy Communion, which in the scriptures you can also see it as the Lord's Supper, is the same. And I'm going to teach it to yours. And you can also see it as the Lord's table is the same. Then you can also see it as breaking bread. So say with me, the Lord's Supper. Say the Lord's table. Say breaking bread. You can also see it as cup of blessing. Somebody say cup of blessing. All these things are communion. It's different from Passover. It's not the same with Passover. Passover is a foreshadow of it. But Passover is not the Holy Communion. And I'm going to take time because the Lord is telling me to teach this. Because one of the ways we are going to empower you financially is to make sure, you know, we always say when you want to create wealth, there are four simple things. We call it Wealth 101. Earn more. Starts from there. Spend less. Save more. And invest more. That's how to create wealth. We call it Wealth 101. Earn more, spend less, save more, and invest more. And all these four comes into play in your creating wealth. And when I want to minister to your financial prosperity, one of the key out of those four, you know, you have one of the, you know, you have like a four-digit code. One of the digits, if you don't get it right, wealth doesn't come. You spend less. If you have sickness taking a lot of your wealth, one of the ways you spend less is to stay in health. Give God praise. How many of you have had any family member that was draining the family wealth? Have you seen that before? When, you know, these things are very serious. So you want not just you, but health in your family. One of the ways the Lord has mercy on me and my wife is that He has given us family where we don't have to spend too much money on drugs. Even one or two of the relatives that we may, even the level they are in would have been worse if not for the mercy of God. If not for the mercy of God. So I want to listen. He took bread. He blessed the bread. Somebody say the blessing. He broke the bread. We are coming somewhere. And then he gave it and said, "Take this." He said, "This is my body. When you're taking the communion, what you're taking is not a representation. It's the very flesh of Christ. I'm going somewhere. Please don't add to the scriptures. Don't remove. Don't try to use human sensibility, human intelligence to try to interpret spiritual realities. It would never make sense. That's exactly what it is. How did you get born again? You believed, you made confession of Jesus Christ, and bam, that's all. You're a new creation. Your old man died. A new man resurrected, and yet you felt nothing. The same God who did that miracle, how do you doubt that when the bread is blessed, that is not now the flesh, is exactly the flesh? This is my body. Not this represents my body. This is my body. Continue, my. Verse 27.
Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
Everybody said, he took the cup. What was in the cup? Say, the wine. Say, he gave thanks. That's what it means to bless. Then he gave it to them. Drink from it. What did he say the wine was? This is my. Today, when we bless the bread and we break it and we give it to you, what will you be taking? You are getting somewhere. You are getting somewhere. We are going somewhere. Just, I pray you give me a little time. Let me give you this. I came here to establish a posterity of divine health. Not just that you enjoy it. You will hand this over as an inheritance to your children and their children. Your lineage will eject every history of diabetes. Every history of hypertension. Every history of mental breakdown. Schizophrenic, what, bipolar diseases, every history is terminated today in the name of Jesus Christ. You know that kind of thing where they say, give the medical history of your family. Eh? By faith in actuality, by the blessing, by what God is doing in this moment, hear me. From now moving forward, your medical history of you, your children and your children's children will be all around healthy. Israel, I want to show you the secret. You want to hear the secret? Is what you eat in your mouth. Is what you eat. He said, this is my blood. The blood of the new covenant. He said, now there is a new covenant. Not what used to be. Not the covenant that was rectified with the blood of bulls and oxen. The covenant that was mediated by Moses. Where you were under laws. The law of sin and of death. And everyone who keeps that law is blessed. Everyone who breaks it is cursed. No. Not the covenant of condemnation. This is the new covenant. And this covenant is in my blood, Jesus says. I, Jesus Christ, is saying, is now the mediator of this new covenant between me and the Father. And this blood is shed for many. Watch this. Somebody say, for the remission of sins. Shout it, for the remission of sins. Shout it louder. Say, for the remission of sins. You know what that remission means? It means blotting out, forgiveness, and wiping away. In Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, he said, come, let's reason together. said, though your sins be as red as scarlet, he said it will be white as snow. Though it be as red as crimson, they will be as wool, white as wool. It means I will wipe them and cleanse them. You say, I shed this blood for it. I heard somebody say, Pastor, I cannot take the communion. I said, well, I said, Pastor, I committed some sins. I said, hey, he's the person who commits the sin that needs the communion the most. Because the cure of it is the blood. The wiping of it is the blood. The disablement of that hold of the influence of that sin. Pastor, I'm addicted to pornography. Addicted to masturbation. Addicted to drugs. Addicted to that. Pastor, I feel helpless. Jesus said, there is a blood I shed to take that sin away. Not just your forgiving is blotted out. Taken away. Wiped out as clean. When I have people who come to me, they went to an altar, they made blood covenant, they made any covenant. The first thing I do after I minister the word is to minister the communion. I have to invoke another altar. I don't ask, I don't care. They put something in your body. You went into blood covenant with somebody. You went to an altar, they said, come and bring this, and you brought it. That's the first tonight. So you're here tonight. There is a meal. There is a meal. I want you to get to John chapter 6, verse 48 to verse 58. Everybody pay attention, please. Give me your time tonight. I need your time. Just a few more minutes and you're going to see what's going to be happening to you. You need this. Listen very carefully. Now, I want you to listen as our dear pastor reads. When I get to a particular verse, I will ask us to read again together. One to go.
I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die.
So watch this. He says, I am the bread of life. He said, this is not manna. There is one bread of angels that was brought. Angels were the ones who baked that one. He said, your fathers, the Israelites, in the wilderness, they ate manna, they died. But this bread I'm talking to you about, you eat it, you shall not die. Tell your neighbor, there is a bread. Say, once you eat it, death can no longer walk in you. Somebody's getting something. It's a meal. I say, it's what they ate that made them die. The day you shall eat of it, you die. It's what we eat that make us live. That's why the beginning of his passion started in the garden. That's the beginning. That garden where they ate that thing, that's where his suffering started from. I'm going somewhere. Please pay attention. He said, whoever eats this bread shall not die. Continue.
I am the living bread which came down from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh.
What did he say? The bread I shall give is what? What's another word for my flesh? My body. The bread I will give is my what? Flesh. Uh-huh.
Which I shall give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves.
Now turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, this living bread,
the flesh, the body of Jesus, is for the Zoe of the world. Say, this is how he gives life. His body, his flesh. Watch that. We are going somewhere. Continue.
The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?
And he didn't tell them, I won't give you my flesh. Look at his answer as they were quarreling. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Everybody read verse 53. Everybody read it loud. Everywhere you are, shout it. Want to go? Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. When he lifted the bread and blessed it, what did he say? This is my... When he gave them to eat, what did he say? This is my what? Body. That is, this is my flesh. Broken for you. What did they eat? Bread. But what did it become? Flesh. The very flesh of Jesus. Jesus says literally, apart from eating the word of God, there is a physical meal that the blessing acts upon. That when you eat that physical meal, you will be eating my physical flesh. You didn't hear what I said. Exactly what I said. My flesh. He didn't. Don't say what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say this will represent. He said this is my body. Verse 54. Continue fast.
Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal
life.
And I will raise him up at the last day.
You know what it means? It means death has lost its hold and its victory on your life. There are many of us that won't sleep. And those that will sleep, we just decide to raid. It's not there to just wear off the physical body. And be you at that moment, you are more alive than you were ever. Once you come into Christ and you understand the secret, but the mystery of the life of Christ is not, look at the mystery of eternal life. It doesn't begin after the death of a man in heaven. It begins while you are alive on earth. What do you think is going to be happening tonight? Some of you already have received your miracles. When I told you to speak, what do you think was happening? That's eternal life. That place, sickness was in your body. Eh? Death was walking. Life came and consumed it up in victory. Just the way Jesus saw that widow whose child was being buried, and he stopped the procession and turned the burial to a thanksgiving party. The Lord said, I should prophesy. I have heard. Shekara dosha. There is something that is happening in your life right now and in your family. Somebody under the sound of my voice. It's as if you're having a burial procession, a mourning procession. But at the sound of my voice, it's now turned into a thanksgiving party. It's turned into a press party. He turned your morning into dancing. He's turned the morning into dancing. He's turned your weeping into singing. In the name of Jesus. I feel fire. Hey, shakatatata. Yela Branda. But sit down. Sit down. I know. There is this fire and I want to take advantage of it, but that's what the Lord wants me to do today is this. So I'm going to do it exactly how He wants me to do it. Verse 55 to 58. Now read.
For my flesh is food indeed.
Stop. Everybody hold your neighbor. Say the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ is food indeed. Say when we take this bread that will be blessed, that is food, as is blessed, and we give thanks, it is the flesh, the very body of Jesus Christ, and it is food indeed. What is food? Nourishment. What is food? Satisfaction. What is food? For strength. What's the purpose of food? For health. You see, they ate something that brought death and sickness. You're eating something that brings life and health. Hi. After today, you will never take communion casually and in an unworthy manner. You'll be discerning the body of Christ. The very flesh of Christ. And my blood is drink indeed. That word indeed in the Greek means in actuality. Indeed, in actuality. Somebody say in actuality. Verse 56. Yes.
He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so
he who feeds on my flesh and my blood will live, not because of medicine, will live, not because of exercise, will live, not because you ate organic, will live because of Zoe, because of me. Shadeyaka. Someone here, a poison was introduced into your body. As you take the communion today, not only will that poison be flushed out of your system, but every damage that poison has done to your body will be restored a sevenfold. Your strength and health is restored. Better than it was before that poison was introduced into your body. Receive that word now. Your eyes, every blindness of the eyes, short-sightedness, long-sightedness, glaucoma, weakened eye nerves, whatever it is that had caused your vision to grow dim, to fade and to fail. As you take the communion today, your eyes see perfectly again. Your eyesight is restored perfectly now. And the Lord is speaking to me. Beyond physical eyesight, wherever your vision was thwarted, wherever there was a manipulation of witchcraft to confuse your vision, it no longer seems as if you know what you're doing. You're running around circles, confused, as if you no longer have direction, precision, accuracy of direction. In the name of Jesus, wherever your sight was taken, Now, let the blind begin to see. Blind eyes open. Blind eyes open. Vision become clear. In the name of Jesus. The power of God is hitting people everywhere you are. Someone that is sitting there on your seat, the fire of God is coming upon you right where you're sitting. You won't be able to stand it. You won't be able to. He will pick you up. He will pick you up. Wherever you're paralyzed, rise up and walk. Fire! Paradise. The Lord said it's not done. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, contain that fire and zeal, because it has to be mixed with knowledge. Sit down. Health is beyond healing. We can finish this and you get healed. But with health, you have to receive the revelation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's already happening. Say, I live because of Jesus Christ. So tonight, when you partake of this bread that is broken, and this cup of the blessing, declare, I live. You're carrying a baby in your womb. Declare that baby lives. Declare over your household, life dwells here. Life tabernacles in my waters. If you've been reading things and you have not been retaining it, you've been forgetful, and every time you're forgetting things, declare, my memory is quickened. My memory is sound. I have retentive memory by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. If you are wearing medicated glasses, why should you still be wearing it? Put only fashion glasses. Don't you know when your word comes, you act fast. You don't think it, you just act. You jump at it. Would that be made hope? As he was still talking, take your mat and go. And the man jumped up. That, you have to jump. Oh. Once the word comes, you jump. Just start doing what you couldn't do before. If you couldn't see, open your eyes and see. If you couldn't walk, don't wait for anybody. Start standing up. Rather fall 10 times than not try. Stand up and walk. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds. How many of you be feeding? I need to do this within time. Verse 58.
This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna
and are dead. He who eats this bread will live. So forever doesn't mean after death. It means you live now and you live after the earth. Live. It means the life starts now. Eternal life starts now. I live. Life is at work in my body. So, hear this. So, Apostle Paul now brings us this revelation. You know, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, all wrote about this. Apostle Paul was not there. He wasn't there. He wasn't there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he now shows us. He said, this thing is not just an ordinance for the church, the early church that was there. No, he said, for I received from the Lord. I wasn't there that night, but by direct revelation, the Lord Jesus showed me this. To tell you the importance, there is a revelation I want to show you. Mama, you know that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Where it says, for no temptation or trial has overtaken you that is not common to man. But in it, this faithful God has made the way of escape. Not a way, it's the way of escape. The way of escape. So that you'll be able to. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and first in context, you will find out that what is calling the way. If you go down to verse 16, you will see it. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. Just three verses under it. He said, the cup of blessing which we bless. That's the way. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? You see, Passover is a foreshadow of this. How did they escape the angel of death? By what they ate. By what they ate. Oh. By what they ate. By what they ate. By what they ate. And he said, now take the blood and put on the lentils. On the lentil. He said, put on the lentil up. Then put two doorposts. What does that show you? The cross. Meaning the blood that will be shed. He said, now eat that lamb. Because that lamb is that lamb that was slain. Oh. That's the foreshadow of it. He said, now eat that lamb. He said, with unliving bread. Why unliving? First, he said, there is no time. So you can't have to wait for it to rise. But because of no time, eat it with bitter herbs. Bitter herbs. Eat it with bitter herbs. So you understand the sufferings that this body will be broken. The sufferings of this Christ. He said, and when you're eating that lamb, make sure it is not boiled. Make sure you don't eat it raw. It must be roasted in fire. Why? Because the fire of the judgment of God is going to come upon the Christ. He's showing the judgment where the anger and the fire and the judgment of God will come upon Christ. When he becomes sin on the altar. That altar of Calvary. That's why we are celebrating what we are celebrating. That was their escape plan. But check how. When you listen. Every time you are about to take communion, you are about to escape something. Let me tell you how you take it. Under the Passover, he said, eat it with your belt guarded around your loins. Have your sandals on your feet and your staff on your hands. You are about to shift. The communion shifts you out. He said, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? I show you a mystery. Time will not allow me today. I just have a few. Today I can show you a little, but we are going to delve into this. But let's get back to 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed. Everybody, did what? Took bread. The Lord has spoken to me now. He talked to me about this while I was meditating, but he's telling me something now. There is someone here that the kiss of a friend is what brought your predicament now. Where what you're facing now came through the betrayal of someone you called friend. The Lord said, I should tell you, it was the night he was betrayed, he took bread. Today, as you take bread, what was meant to be your burial will be your resurrection. Hey, I'm hearing, I'm seeing. I just saw different doors in the spirit. That's what was showing me. Opening like this, opening. Different doors opening. Different people are walking through open doors. Kai. And angels are here. I know they'll be here, but I'm seeing now. Things are happening here. Kai, you will never forget this night all the days of your life. Verse 24, because of time, fast please. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it. This is what? Did you see the revelation? This is Apostle Paul. Did he say, this is a representation of my body? He said, do this in remembrance of me. He's not bringing a revelation. He said, it's an ordination that keeps Christ and what he has done in your consciousness. In your consciousness. This ordination, this spiritual ordinance, this sacrament, the way the Catholics will call it. He said, it puts Christ in your consciousness. If there is an abiding in your consciousness of what Jesus has done. Verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup. After supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. Everybody hold the hand of the person by your side. That's the revelation. Shout it. One to go. Stop. Again. How often should you eat the communion? Choose. You can take the communion daily. That's why it's different from Passover. Passover is an annual feast for the Jews. Communion is a divine ordination for new creation and the church. Every time the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, I have not done this before, but this is the beginning of it. He said, every time you gather in your house as believers, people come to visit you, the first thing you do is to break bread. Once you see any believer, you are having a meeting, break bread. The Bible said the New Testament church was going from house to house, breaking bread on daily basis. So the Bible said they were not sick. He said, this is why many are sick. This is why many die untimely. He said, because they don't discern the Lord's body. Some of them think what we are having is love feast. They don't see the power of the communion. The moment you start discerning the body, that this is not ordinary bread. Once you start discerning the power, the man of God, Joseph Prince, said something. I was listening to him, and when he said it, it jumped out of my spirit. He said, the Lord showed him. He was talking about the communion, and he said, the Lord showed him. He said, when those under the old covenant ate a meal that is a foreshadow of the Lord's Supper, not the same, just a foreshadow. He said, and it was old covenant, and the blood they put was the blood of an animal. A lamb without blemish. Only a sinless blood can redeem man. A lamb of the first year. of the first year. He said, when they came out, Psalm 105, I think verse 27 or so, you find it. When they came out, the Bible said they came out with abundance of silver and of gold, and none was feeble among them. Verse 36, find it. None was feeble. None was feeble. None was weak. None was sick. Grandpapa started chasing grandmamas. Strong running around. I'm telling you, none was weak. If that could happen under the old covenant, which is a fading glory, what happens to us who have the substance and the reality? What will happen when we understand the mystery of this? Go to 36. I want to read to 36 to 38. Psalm 105. Watch this. He also destroyed all the firstborns in their land, the first of all their strength. Verse 37. Join me. Everybody read. I read out loud. Are you ready for abundance? Every spirit that has resisted your financial prosperity is arrested tonight.
Thank you so much for listening to this message by Pastor David Ifechukwu. Follow us on any of our social media platforms using the handle @MyLambWorld or contact us at 006-275-3311 to purchase and listen to more life-changing messages by Pastor David Ifechukwu.